Father, I thank you for being with us tonight. I thank you, Father God, for being in the praise and worship. I thank you, Father, for the shofar blowers and the anointing that you placed upon them and on their shofars. I thank you, Father God, that you're opening up the heavens wider each time. And I thank you, Father God, that you're changing your people, rearranging us, and making us into the image of your Son, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've come to the great conclusion that if you're a prophet, you have to walk through something before you can teach it. You always have to walk through something before you can teach it. Because when you walk through it, then God, he gets you right first. And then whenever you teach something, you know it's the truth because you've been there, done that, right? I was thinking about something Aaron said this morning. He said finally the sun's peeking through or something. And I said, well, at least the sun peeking through. We aren't peeking through the fire. Amen. we need to just thank God for everything we have. Sun or no sun, you know, rain or no rain. We don't want the fire, right? I was going to have asked her to do her testimony, but that's all right. She has a testimony. She had a vision. And we'll just do that later. You know, I had a real good sermon altogether about love. It was really different, really good. And I got it all done, and that's not where God's at. So I've taught this. This will be the third time I've taught this sermon. It's Anatomy of Hate. And God said, that's where my people are at. They're fighting hate right now. And so I'm just going to. So I pulled out this teacher. Now that I'll just teach us. And I just come through that myself. I've never hated in my life. But for 2 months, I cried out to God, God, I don't ever want to hate. Please take this thing from me. Please just come down and overshadow me. And just please don't help me not to allow Satan to steal your love out of me. And I really, truly felt hate for the first time in my 80 years. And it wasn't nice, and it wasn't fun, and it wasn't fun to walk through it either. As I cried out to God every waking minute, please God, don't let me go there. The devil told me one day, I'm going to destroy you. I don't know how, but I'm going to destroy you. And God said, he can't destroy you. He can take you for a loop, but he can't kill you. Well, with this hate thing, it just about destroyed me, because I don't see how anybody can walk in hate and still breathe. I mean it. I don't care what it is. I don't care how you can do that. And this is what God said to me. He said, somebody in my family really hates me. And he said, it's finally reached its pinnacle, and now I'm going to act on it. So when hate has reached its peak, then I will come in and destroy its work. And you know, if you are the object of somebody hating you, it's about the worst thing I've ever felt in my life. Because it brings such darkness and such foreboding upon you that you're constantly fighting and trying to even breathe some days because the hate is so strong and so severe. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. See what it says? And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. the ones that have will not receive the love of Christ, or you're going to go through a terrible time. And when you finally end up in hell and all that stuff you're going to go through there, you're going to wish that you would have received Christ. The other day, little Isaiah said to me, "Mom, Mom, why can't I cuss?" And I said, "Honey, it's because Jesus doesn't want us to cuss." And he said, "Well, cuss and take me to hell." I said, "Yes, it will." "Well, then I guess I just won't cuss." And then he said, "Can I say hot diggity dog when I'm upset?" And I said, "Well, that's not really cuss." And he said, "I said, why?" And he said, "Brad says hot diggity dog." He said, "We shouldn't cuss. We should say hot diggity dog." So there, he just turned 4 years old, and he's asking me, "Why can't I cuss?" And I don't see grown Christians asking that questions. I see grown Christians cussing. Right? Do you ever know the reason why you cuss? It's because you're just so caught up with the enemy that you don't have any righteous words to speak, and he just takes over. Verse 11 says, "And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." God is going to send those who won't believe in Jesus Christ a strong delusion. Isn't that what it says right there? And Matthew 5:43 says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." This is Jesus speaking. "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Why? "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, right now, in this dispensation of time, we're finding that it's very hard to do. That the enemy is just using his vessels to try to totally and completely destroy God's children. And it's really hard to pray for your enemies right now. But we have to do that. We have to press through. And we have to pray for those who are persecuting us and those who are saying all manner of evil against us. And we even have to pray for those who we know that God has done a miracle for, and they're saying, "I'm not ready to serve God yet." We still have to pray for them too, that God will enlighten them and open up their eyes and let them see where they're taking themselves to. And it's not to heaven. All right, hate. Now we're talking about the atomy of hate, all right? Hate has been sent a strong delusion and believes lies. But love has had a hole bored in its ear and is hearing what love, which is God, is saying. And I'm going to tell you right now, if hate hasn't already tried to consume you, I can guarantee you it's going to try. And you're going to have to keep your ears open to the voice of the Father. And you're going to have to hear the voice of love over that roar of the voice of hate. Because if you give in to hate, you're going to be totally lost. And nobody is worth going to hell for. Absolutely nobody. Revelation 12:10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." So it's telling us here that hate is the accuser. When the accuser jumps on you, it is hate trying to break you down. You hearing that? Hate does not know the truth about you. Hate believes lies. Hate is always damned. So if somebody's trying to tear you down and come against you, then they are accuser of their brethren, and that is hate. They don't understand where you're coming from. They don't understand what God is calling you for to do. They don't understand why you're standing under all the persecution. They don't understand us. They just bring hateful words over you, and they just do all manner of evil. And what they're doing, really, I'm hearing God say, is heaping coals upon their own head and bringing their own selves down. So we don't give in to hate when it comes. We give in to love and keep on walking in love. Therefore it spends its, we're talking about hate now. I said hate is always damned. Therefore it spends its life damning others. When it thinks it is telling the truth, it is lying. Hate is a teacher of false doctrine. It is like quicksand. Only love can bring them out. We must be his love towards them. In other words, when people are hating you and doing all manner of evil to you and using you and abusing you, we can't retaliate with more hate. We have to show them love and more love and more love and more love. And right now it's very, very hard. This is where the enemy's at. It's very, very hard right now to keep your eyes upon Jesus right now and to walk in that perfect love, that holiness that God's calling us to walk in. And it's really hard not to say this isn't fair. Amen. Hate exalts itself. It's proud. It is so smart, or so it thinks. But it hates love and thinks love must be abolished. Hate wants us to hate each other. Hate wants to divide us. Isn't that what's going on? The young man I took into my home right now, he's always had people hate him. Always had people just look down at him. And so we brought him into the home because God said so, and we showed him the love of Christ, and that boy's turned totally and completely around. But he said he's never had love shown to him in all of his life. He's in his late 20s. And it's because of love. We could have said, I could have said, just keep living out there in the woods. You got yourself into drugs. You got yourself all messed up with the law. Just go ahead and stay messed up. But God said, bring him in. Love him. Clean him up. Love him. And nurture him. And watch me bring him forth. So that's what we did. We didn't have to do it. But that's what we did because of the grace of God. All right, Revelation 12, verse 4 says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now hate is the dragon that tries to devour the man child, because the man child is God's love in bodily form. Talking about Jesus here. But love is saying we will love each other more as a people, even to perfection. Come on, guys. Love is saying we will love each other more as a people, even to perfection. God builds his house of love, and hate is shut out from it. Remember what God's started telling us a couple of weeks ago? No unclean thing shall come nigh thy dwelling place. Anybody that won't walk in love and wants to still walk in hate, God is separating, God is dividing, and we'll no longer see those people. Are you listening? Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. I wished we would really believe that. Love has a table spread in the presence of hate, and hate condemns all that is on that table. Hate is insanely jealous of the things of God and the people of God. Hate is insanely jealous of the things of God and the people of God. I watch people hate people who God is blessing. They just hate them because they're not being blessed too. And all they have to do really is just turn around and walk right with God. And it might not happen overnight, but as God sees you persevering, as God sees you pressing through, God will bless you too. He really will. All right, it, which is hate, hates that the people of God are chosen from the foundation of the earth, and it, which is hate, has no part in that love. Hate warns the people to stay away from this love and don't touch their table. Hate is who? The Antichrist. And the Antichrist can't stand the fact that you and I were chosen before the foundations of the world, had a conversation with God, and was set down here to do an assignment, and the assignment is destroy the works of hate. Hate is our enemy. That is why it tries to break the saints in the house of love. But it does not understand that love holds on to that which is holy and precious. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have that, you're not going to make it, because this was the biggest struggle I've ever had in my life. And I even called for backup. I'm honest about what I'm going through. And I said, I've never hated in my life, but right now I am fighting that battle. And if I don't get out of this, it's going to take me straight to hell. I'm going to lose my salvation. And I said, no, devil, you said you were going to find some way to destroy me, and you're not stealing my love. You're not going to make me hate these people like you want me to. I'm just not going to allow it. I had to make a decision. And then I had to fight through that decision. I had to see that decision come to fruition. But I couldn't do it myself, and I knew it, so I called on the prayer warriors in the church. Please cover me. I don't want to go under with this. Are you understanding this? And see, the problem with the body of Christ is we get out there all by ourselves, and then we get so full of pride, which is hate. I can do this myself. I have news for you. No, you can't. No, you can't. Satan will do everything he can to take you out. Paul was a hater. Acts 9, 1 through 6. Then Saul, you know, who was Paul, still breathing threats and murder against disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, which is Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, he was persecuting the Christians, but what he was really persecuting was Christ. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. See, Paul was a hater, but God rescued him on that road. You don't have to stay a hater. You can turn to be a child of love. You can start rejoicing when somebody else is being blessed, even if you're not. You don't have to sit and get excited about the whole thing and say, God, why are they being blessed and I'm not? You see that? See how this works? But the Lord rescued Paul on the road to Damascus. The Lord knows how to rescue haters. But at first it will look very bad for them. How they receive his rescue determines whether they will go on with him or hate all the more. You know, if you're a person bound in hate and all you want to do is hate, God can't change your will. But he'll do everything he can to make a way for you to get out of that avenue of hate that you're in. Matthew 9:13, but Jesus says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus died for the haters. It said right there, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And that's why he died on the cross. We also die for them, and we also will die for them and at their hands. Yeah, you know, just like that Christian you've been reading about, that the Taliban, was it, captured them, and then they raped his wife, and they had those children in captivity. You can see in his face he has a lot of hate in him. Have you looked at his face? If you've been following that article, and I don't blame him, but yet I do, because you know he is a Christian, and he was over there, I think, as a pastor, wasn't he, going around getting people saved. And 5 years of all that abuse they went through, and watching his wife being raped by the guards and everything, and they even killed his three-month-old or little tiny baby, 3 days or something like that, old baby. You know, he has all that built up in him. He's going to need a lot of counseling. He's going to have to, because his question is, why did God allow him to go through all that when he was out there doing God's work? But the word tells us that we will be persecuted for the sake of Jesus, right? So if you're going to go overseas, going to go anywhere as an ambassador for Christ, expect to be persecuted, and don't say, why, Lord, am I going through this? Because he warns us in his word, this is what's going to happen to us. The devil is never going to lay down and play dead, and I wish the body of Christ would get that through their heads. He's always going to fight God's children. All right, I said, we also will die for them and at their hands. That is why, you know, that's for, we'll die for haters. That is why things that have been had to be. Genesis 3:15, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I did not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. From the time we were born, hate has tried to destroy us. Hate wanted our mothers to abort us. Hate has caused many to give into addictions and diseases. Now, you remember I told you when I was first born again, you know, I was going through such a battle, and I said, God, what is this? He said, you're in a tug of war. The enemy has one arm, I have the other. We're both vying for your soul. It's up to you which one of us win the tug of war. You know, I could say, well, I don't want to go through this mess that I was going through, being persecuted for no good reason. And I could have just let Satan have his, you know, he could have won the tug of war, and then I'd be in hell. Are you understanding this? So it is a tug of war. And you're going to have to determine who you want to win this tug of war. And in order for God to win it, you're going to have to start walking in the holiness that God's called you to walk in. You're going to have to go through persecution with a smile on your face. And not tongue-in-cheek either, but a smile on your face. And you're going to have to persevere. See, I tell you what I go through so you can understand I'm still standing. And I'm not walking in hate. Even though every now and then I like to slap their head off the shoulders. You know, I'm not perfected yet, right? How dare you do this? Right? Come on. We're all human. And if you haven't gotten there yet, believe me, you will. If it takes you 80 years, you're going to get there. Amen. It's a long time to fight the enemy. But that's no excuse. So I said to God one time, I said, God, but Jesus only had to do it 3 years. That didn't fly with him. He was upset with that. He said, you didn't come on for a 3-year stint. You came on for a lifetime. So don't look and say, well, Jesus only did it for 3 years. You signed up for life. Didn't we just sang the song Lifer, right? And so however long it takes, that's what we have to endure. All right, we're at Romans 8:33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's God's elect? Every one of us sitting in here tonight, right? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. See that? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. All this stuff in 35. Let's go back and read 35 again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, for Christ, the sake of Christ, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what you signed up for. That's what we're in this war. That's what this war is all about. Yet, and then Paul says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He said, even though we go through all this junk, we're still conquerors. Isn't that what he just said? That isn't fair. And then he goes on to say in 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe Paul? Do you believe the word? He's saying none of these things that we're going through that we carry on so bad about, they cannot separate us from Christ. But sometimes we allow it to. Sometimes we don't go to battle. And sometimes we just give in to our emotions. Then that carries us away. We can't do that. See, I knew I couldn't do that. That's why I was crying out so loudly and constantly and fighting with everything I had in me to stay on top of this thing. Amen. we can see by the scripture that hate will never separate us from the love of God if we love God with all of our hearts. So that's the key. To get through all this junk that you're going to go through or are going through, you're going to have to love God, but he's going to have to be number one priority. He just is. He just is. Barbara just buried her mother. She had to move on. She had to go ahead and go on and keep doing her work. I just got a phone call last night that my brother died of a heart attack. We just keep going on. You know, we don't stop. We just keep going on. But so many people stop and they don't go on. And then they blame God because they don't end up in heaven. You know, and it even tells us that the people in hell curse God even in hell. And it wasn't God's fault. It was our own because we didn't heed the word. There is a pride that goes with hate. It exalts itself. It says God's people are just dummies. The Antichrist is hate. It sits in the temple of God. Has anybody ever said to you, well, you know, how do you know there's a God? Well, I just do. I look out there and see all the beautiful things. I just do. Well, what are you going to say whenever you spend all your life being a goody two-shoes and find out there's no heaven, no hell, and no God? I said, well, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. But I'm going to stay holding, I'm going to stay walking with God because I know that I know that I know there is a God, even though I've never seen him. Right? So, I said, there is a pride that goes with hate. It exalts itself. It says God's people are just dummies, and that's what I was told. The Antichrist is hate. It sits in the temple of God. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. See, this, we have to follow this scripture. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. See, we have to be sober, be vigilant. Vigilant, I'm sorry. Why? And we have to resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that everybody, all other Christians are going through the very same thing that you're going through. It might be in a different category, but still we're all going through these sufferings. Where, you know, the devil's after every one of us. He knows our personalities. He knows what can bring us down. And that's the button he's going to push continually trying to get us off track. Are you listening here? Hate says, I will ascend into heaven and be like the Most High God. And you know, that's what you do whenever you think, when you try to work out your own situations, you think you are God. And you think you can, God isn't working quick enough, so you think you're just going to go ahead and take God's role and go ahead and try to work this thing out. You remember God told me one time, he said, who do you think you are? You're not God. You know, he said, if I can't change, if the Holy Spirit can't change people, why do you think you can? See, I was trying to make people change. And God said, you can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You just give the word, the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. I was trying to take the role of part of the Godhead, and I can't do that. And maybe some of you are doing that too. All you have to do is give the word, live the example. And God, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Matthew 5:43 says, you have heard that it is said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And I know we read this, we're going to read this again here. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And I'm being honest, I said just last week, said, God, I really can't do this right now. I've had this up to my eyeballs. I can't do this. He said, are you mine? Yes, then you can do it. I'm with you in this thing. I see all things that are going on. And he's saying the very same thing to you. You know, whenever he's saying, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And I was thinking, you know, as I was reading the scripture and typing, I used to be able to do this, God. Just, you know, just breeze right along. He said, you weren't fighting the demons you're fighting now. That you weren't fighting them then. Satan has come down himself to destroy my people. And that's why it's so difficult right now. But it doesn't mean that you have to give into it. It doesn't mean that you have to lay down and play dead. It means you have to fight harder. You have to dig deeper into your faith. And you just have to trust God more than you ever trust him in your life. And you have to keep pushing forward. No matter what people are saying or doing, we have to do our part. And our part is to keep love going. All right. Pray for those who use you, persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven and daughters. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. That really bothered me there for a while when I was first saved. I'm just being totally honest with you. And sends rain on the just and on the unjust. All right, God, bless them too, even though they're being idiots. I need this blessing. So if I'm going to get this blessing and they live with me, they have to be blessed too. You understand what you're saying? What are you going to do? Cut your nose off to spite your face? I don't want them blessed. Okay, so they're in your same house or you're in a workplace or whatever. So if you don't want them blessed, guess what? You're not going to get blessed either. Because what does this word say? Yes, squirm in your seat, Alan. Amen. Come on. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? You know, the tax collectors were terrible people in those days. How many of you, you're really getting worn thin loving those who don't love you? Honesty is the best policy here. And God told me hate is the dominant thing right now in the world, in the atmosphere. And we have to learn about hate and what hate does so that we can be prepared to fight it with all the tools that God has given us to fight with, and that we don't get lost right now in this time period. All right. And verse 47 says, and if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? In other words, people come into the house of God and we look at them and say, oh. You know, we don't go to them. We don't say anything to them. We go to our brother and say, hi, how are you tonight? And here's a visitor sitting there. Nobody says anything to them. And verse 48 says, if you do all that, it says, therefore you should be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. If you love do everything we just read, then you're going to be perfect as your. That's why we're not perfected yet. We're not doing the things that the Father's telling us to do. I'm making light of a very, very serious situation in the body of Christ. It's very serious. But I put a little lightness in there so that you at least listen to something I'm saying and let some of it sink in. Amen. Where there is persecution, there is hate. If you're being persecuted, then you're being hated. We need to understand that persecution only comes about when love is abounding in the hearts of God's people. So if you have the love of God in your heart, you're going to be persecuted. Because the enemy does not want that love to stay alive in there. He wants to drown that thing. Where there is love, there is crying inside. And when you go home, you can read Revelations chapter 6, 1 through 17. Where there is love, there is crying inside. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll spend many times sitting all by yourself crying, asking God to strengthen you so you can go through this battle that he has you in. It is the cry that weeps between the porch and the altar, crying, mercy, mercy, Lord, and how long, O Lord, till you avenge us? The Word of God says that the pastors need to be crying between the porch and the altar for the people so that they aren't taken out. And that doesn't happen. We aren't praying for the church like we ought, and the enemy's coming in and destroying. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. I know it's about 5 years ago God told me the Antichrist S and the N are already in place on the earth. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. These are the Antichrist, the hate people. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. They left the house of God and went out and did their own thing. And then when we know they're not of God. All right? The man that did all the shooting in Las Vegas, that was pure hate. Pure hate. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God. See, this is way back in the First Testament, in the New Testament. He said, the Antichrist is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God keeps having to remind me of that. Does he have to remind you that the one that's inside of you, which is God, is greater than that enemy that's pressing against you? I don't know how many times I cried out, I said, devil, the one that's in me is greater than you are. You're not in me. You're on the outside trying to press in, but you're not getting in because God's in there and he's greater. Amen. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. These antichrists are of the world. They speak like the world, and the world hears them. Saints, we need to be children of God, with the love of God abounding in us. And no matter what we're going through, let love come forth so that people can see Christ in us, and they'll want that more than what they already have out there in the world. Remember the story I told you when I was first born again about the GI who he got saved one night in a prayer meeting, in one of our prayer meetings, went to the barracks, and him and his partner who slept, you know, and had their same barracks, always fought. And the guy wanted to fight him that night. He said, I'm not going to fight you. And that guy liked to kill him. But he said, I'm not going to hit you. He kept saying, hit me, hit me, hit me. He said, I'm not going to hit you. God loves you. And he kept saying that. He was bloody all over. And finally the guy dropped on his knees and said, I want this God that you know. And he gave his heart to Jesus because the guy wouldn't fight him. He said, I love you, brother. Why would I hit you? Wouldn't it be nice if we all did that? Love those who are persecuting you. And he was being persecuted, wasn't he? But he showed the love of Christ. 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is a Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. In case you are looking for the Antichrist, look for hate, and you have found him. Hate opposes all that is called God. And hate is a spirit. The Bible says pride comes before a fall. I believe we could even say hate comes before a fall. I believe strokes follow hate, and many times high blood pressure. Hate comes out of the root of bitterness, and bitterness is the basis for all disease. It is a place for cancers to grow. It is a cancer breeding ground. You listen to this. And your people can hate you so bad that they can actually pray sicknesses on your body. And you have to fight those sicknesses. You have to be before God's face continually so that that hate doesn't take you over, because look at the pain and the torment they're putting you through, but yet they're still standing before your face grinning. Amen. Bitterness is a cancer. It is a tumor that has festered up with things that a person should have gotten over a long time ago if they trusted God. Let me say that again. Bitterness is a cancer. It is a tumor that has festered up with things that a person should have gotten over a long time ago if they trusted God. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So according to that, hate has come to lie, hate, kill, and destroy. But in Christ, we are not destroyed, we remain. And at home, you can read 1 John 4:1-21. As God's love children, love is our number one priority. Are you listening? This is what, you know, I had this message all made up about love, and God said, no, hate is dominant right now. I want you to teach on hate. So as God's love children, love is our number one priority. Number one, I am a good steward of God's love. Everything in life depends on how I receive and distribute his love. Life itself depends on it. Number two, I stay connected to the power of love. As I open my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my mouth to speak love, as I operate through love, the glory of his love flows through me. 3, I make the commitment to yield to love's authority. I will submit to the spirit of love himself. Love will empower me to live through him. His glory and abundance will fill the earth through me. Did you get that? Love came. Love gave himself. Love died. Love rose again. Love took our sins and punishments so we could live abundantly through him who is love. All right. Always remember, strife never connects to love. Strife connects to confusion. Unforgiveness connects to darkness. Fear connects to the spirit of fear. Faith connects to the spirit of faith. Hate connects to the spirit of hate. Love connects to the spirit of love. Sin connects to the spirit of sin, which is death. Repentance connects to the spirit of forgiveness, which is eternal life. God is gracious and God is good to you. So you have to be gracious and you have to be good to those who hate you. And like I said, I never had a problem with this until just recently, a couple months ago. And then it totally, completely started consuming me. So I had to, and I realized that because a prophet always has to walk through the thing their self so they can teach it to let you know that God is able to bring you through no anything you have to go through. And he is there to, I'm hearing him say he's there to connect with you, to help you when Satan tries to overthrow you. The only way Satan can have any free will over you is if you give him permission to go against your free will. And I'm hearing God say, the reason why Satan can come and use you as a hate vessel is because you yourself, you tolerate sin in yourself. Therefore, there's always an open door for Satan to work through with his hate. So we're going to have to, you know, God's been telling us to walk in holiness. So what we're going to have to do is to quit tolerating sin within our own self. We're going to have to start walking in that complete and total holiness that God's called us to walk in, or hate will come and it will take you out. And I believe if I would ask for a show of hands, I could say that the majority of you in here are walking through hate right now. You're really walking, that pressure is so hard. And even against our own children, you know, Satan is using our children right now to come against us with the hate that they have in them because of something that happened to them down the road. And now that hate now is being, Satan's using that hate in them to pressure you. All right, so I have Gabriel who was, you know, taken away from us and abused. So he has a spirit of rejection. He has that, he has a hate for those people who did it. And I've walked him through that, but still there's that residue in him. And so now he's projecting that hate to me because I didn't protect him. And even today in the home, when people come against him and abuse him, then he still hates me. He said, why aren't you protecting me? And so I'm dealing with that right now with all the other things I deal with. I'm trying to keep him straight. Are you understanding this? So when your children do something, you know, don't retaliate against them. Understand where they're coming from and work with them from that angle, or you're going to destroy them. This is what God spoke to me just last night. If we don't work with them from the angle that they're coming from, then we will totally destroy him, and God is not pleased with that. And kids are really, Satan can really use kids to really come at you. They are a perfect vessel. They're wide open to be used. And if, you know, if you have a child that's been through a lot of rejection, they're hurting and hurting really bad. And they don't need the ones who profess to love them to get up in their face and yell and scream at them and tell them they wish they were never in the home. That just broadens the rejection. They don't need you to stand and call them names. You know, they need love. And when Gabriel goes through his tyrant, it's terrible. But in the end of it, I take and I hold him in my arms and tell him how much I love him and just let him cry. Because he's striking out. Why can't I be loved? Why is everybody who says they love me hurting me? Are you understanding this? And it just isn't little children. It's grown-ups that do the very same thing because they've had rejection as a child. And nobody's ever done anything about it, so they carried it through their childhood or adulthood, and they just striking out. And instead of somebody trying to understand where they're coming from, they strike back with hate and not with love. And I'm hearing God say, you're going to be held accountable how you raise these children I give you to raise. So all you parents in here, God's going to hold you accountable for how you raise your children. I didn't say spoil them, raise them properly. Amen. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your word tonight. I thank you for the visitor that came out to sit and hear your word, Father. And I'm asking, Father God, that you just reach down tonight and touch each and every heart that's been affected by this message. I'm asking, Father God, that you show them the same grace that you've shown me, that you walk them through this hate that they're going through, Father God. And Father, the world that you're sending in us does not need to see hate in any fashion or form. They need to see the perfect love of Jesus Christ. They need to see slapping and turning the other cheek. They need to see you stand like you did and be nailed to that cross. And that cross that we carry is a cross of love. And we need to be nailed to that cross of love so we can generate love and pour that love into all the souls that we meet. And Father, we just thank you for it tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. There's some of you in here tonight that you have so much hate bottled up inside of you that God can't even get to you. And God wants to remove that. I'm hearing him say he wants to uncap that hate. And he wants to just pull that hate right up out of you. And he wants you to see the world with the eyes of Christ. And be able to love people in the proper way. And not in the Antichrist way, but in the proper way. And that when God sends you to the world, you're not going to destroy them, but you're going to be able to love them through their mess. The altar is open tonight. Brad, would you please get a microphone? The altar is open tonight. God wants to heal. He's saying the broken pieces with inside of you. There's a young man back there with glasses on. God wants to give him word. I don't have enough wind to give it right now. But before you start, the altar is open for those who God just wants to uncap that hate, and he just wants to pour love in and saturate you with the love of Christ so that you we'll be able to function normally in a crippled world. Thank you, Father.